And welcome back. You're joined in the second hour of We the People. If you missed the first hour, or you would like to send this to a friend, or you'd like a little extra information, we're posting stuff all the time about the show, things we're talking about here, wethepeopleradio.us. That's also where you can find contact information for us, and you can give us ideas for guests. I guess you could call and complain, but, you know, mostly if you need to complain, just change the channel. Yeah. That's why they have a disclaimer. I see that disclaimer's kind of making...
disclaimer's for you.
It's kind of making me feel snarky.
Yeah, it's for you. Trust
I didn't
me.
Feel like that before they played the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere and Kubota tractor dealer. They're up on Twin View Boulevard, 3119. And they do everything tractors there. So if you have repairs or you need parts or service, whatever... give them a call at 226-9226 or get them online or on the web at readingtractors.com. That's Team Power.
See, Bill does a much better job on the commercial when I don't look at him. I was just trying that out.
Stop looking.
Did you notice how I didn't look at you?
She's looking at me. I remember that. Yeah.
So as long as I don't look at him, we're all good.
Yeah.
All right. So we're here with the Siskiyou County Ag Commissioner. And if you missed the first hour, you ought to listen because the little seals on the gas pumps, if you're curious who's in charge of that, ta-da, it's your ag commissioner. Go figure. So we learned a lot about those kinds of things. How are things weighed, you know, when stores have little bags of things for sale and they say it weighs a certain amount? How do you know?
Yeah.
But the ag commissioner knows.
Somebody's got an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Somebody's watching. So that was interesting. That's stuff that I think most people would not know. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the forest situation in light of the local fires that we have all of the time. But I don't want to run out of time before we discuss the Klamath Project and some of the things with, like, the dam removal and all that. And the reason we're focusing on Siskiyou County in particular is you can't really talk about these issues about the entire western states. I mean, that's silly. Every place has its own stuff. But if you really look at the issues in Siskiyou County, they apply in a lot of other places. If you can figure out what's going on there, you will start to see it in other places. And honestly, they've got more issues than anywhere I know all at the same time.
Well, I think a lot of it is because they are rural. Wrong. Most of it is a rural community, and they're easy pickings.
I know. They're just under the gun, but boy, they're fighters, which is something that the government guys and the environmentalists have found wholly annoying, which is fantastic.
Yeah, they don't lay down for you.
Keep up the good work up there. So, Jim, since you come from the Tule Lake Basin up there, you want to give people a little kind of primer, and then what it's going to do, you know, we've had this lawsuit pending where they're going to shut off all the water to all the ag, you know, some numbers on how much is grown up there and all that, and if they shut all that off, what does that do to the county? Because these have real-world impacts in the economy, not to mention the fact that on a wider scale, everyone's food prices go up, and there are shortages, ultimately. We drive out all our farmers, there's nothing to eat.
I'd be glad to talk about that. I am kind of personally involved in that. I own, as do my family, own about 400 or 500 acres in the Tule Lake Irrigation District, part of the Klamath Project. So a little history. The Klamath Project was a Bureau of Reclamation water management project that was designed to supply farmers with both irrigation water and farmland in the Klamath Basin. Klamath Basin is a interstate watershed that encompasses areas in Klamath County, Oregon, and Modoc and Siskiyou counties in California. It also was designed to supply waters to the Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge and Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge in cooperation with the Klamath Project operation. There's about 225,000 acres of active farmland throughout the Klamath Project. About 80,000 acres were recovered by draining a portion of Lower Klamath Lake and Tule Lake. Tule Lake and parts of Lower Klamath Lake were landlocked lakes. So it was, geologically speaking, would have turned into something similar to the Great Salt Lake over time. They didn't have any outlets for the water, so the salts would have continued to accumulate in there, and as a irrigation district moves tailwater out of there and through the refuges and back into the Klamath River, it's removed that potential. So farmers in the project area, which is about 225,000 acres or 255,000 acres, actually. They raise barley, wheat, oats, alfalfa, grass, hay, cereal grain hay, potatoes. They raise strawberry nursery plants. They raise dehydrated onions, ones that are made used to make, you know, onion powder, very strong flavored, high solid content onion. They raise mint, mostly peppermint. They raise horseradish. This is the capital of the horseradish, the western capital of horseradish production in Siskiyou and Modoc counties. We also have a small micro green lettuce production level, and there's some carrots and carrot seed production in the county. So they have somewhat of a diverse, in the Klamath project, diverse growing habit over there. So the Klamath Basin is on the Pacific Flyway, and the Klamath Basin National Wildlife Refuges Complex is there at Tule Lake, and it's visited by migratory game birds every year at big, big numbers. However, without water in the refuges, it creates havoc down south because if they stop here and eat and fill up on the grain that is left behind by the farmers, and they have co-op leases along the edges of both refuges to provide food as part of the rent. They have to leave up to a third or more of their crop as the lease payment for some of these co-op lease to feed that migratory game. And if they can keep them out of the rice fields down south until a little bit later after they've harvested, it lessens that conflict between the rice farmers and the migratory wildfowl. And it works out well for them because what happens when you harvest is that you put out the back end of a combine, anything that's too small to market, they dump it back on the ground. And the geese come back in and snap that up. And it's pretty good food when they're getting ready to go south.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know they were required to do that. That's
only on some of the leases. Okay, those are the co-op leases. There are two kinds of leases in the leased lands. So we'll talk about that as a separate subject. So the Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge has, by law, Kekal Act passed in 1964. Been required to lease out a percentage of their refuge. 16,000 acres is included. About 13,000 acres actually gets farmed and moved into programs called walking wetlands, where they flood a large segment of the leased lands for 2, 3, 4 years, and it becomes wetland habitat, marsh habitat, and then they take it out of production and move that wetland into another area, which cleans it up, and the growers can go in and farm that, and all the nematodes and diseases that affect some of the more profitable crops in there can be raised organically without any pesticides, which is a big push in the leased lands to move toward organic production. So in the leased lands, rents are high. It's the most productive ground in the Klamath project. And it pretty much pays for its own regulatory self. They take it out of the lease payments. The lease payments support a pesticide enforcement program that my county, my people, perform on a 7-day-a-week basis, doing inspections of pesticide applications in the lease land, where they enforce buffer zones and pesticide use requirements that was developed by a pesticide use committee. Pesticide use program that's developed by a committee of fish and wildlife officials, the Bureau of Reclamation officials, many who are experts in fish and wildland birds and invertebrate pets and are experts in toxicology of chemicals. And they set up a separate guideline for the use of pesticides on the lease land, evaluating first and foremost the safety for the wildlife that inhabit the refuge. And secondly, on its effectiveness as a agricultural tool. And so we enforce those rules along with all the California state and federal rules of the use of pesticides on the leased land.
So is the leased land, is it profitable to go in and farm that? I mean, when you look at having to return, you know, a third of the crop back to the to nature and then the pesticide reductions, how can that be profitable to farm?
So, Bill, only a partial, a number of the leases are called co-op leases, okay? And they are regulated to raising grain. They don't have any options for that because they need the bird feed for the migratory wildfowl. And so the grain is profitable enough to encourage people to do that every year. I've never seen any, you know, idle.
Right.
I'm not going to say they get rich on that, but evidently it must be profitable enough to keep them doing that.
Lucrative enough the that rest, somebody will lease it.
Yeah, the rest of it is leased out based upon a bid, a cash bid for rent. And so the Bureau of Reclamation at the beginning of the year will put out a bid for the leases that are up, you know, for grabs. And the high bid takes it. Part of that money goes to administering that program by the Bureau of Reclamation for the Fish and Wildlife Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Part of it goes to administering the program that I'm in, which means the pesticide enforcement and inspection program that we do. And all that is also used to support an in lieu of tax payments for Siskiyou County. Siskiyou County gets a percentage, and Modoc and Klamath counties all get a percentage of the income from that in lieu of taxes. And it's a pretty substantial amount. In fact, it's enough of an amount that would be a serious hit to our coffers if it went away. And there's a group of people that would like to see all that ground taken away from commercial farm production. In defense of that, though, having grown up there, I've seen a lot of wildfowl eat leftover potatoes, leftover grain, leftover onions. They've grazed on the grass fields for hay, and they've grazed on the alfalfa fields for food, you know. So it's kind of a benefit to both the farmers and to the wildfowl that inhabits refuge.
One of those issues you have to actually have some information before you make a decision, and usually the people that are against it and want to change it don't know those
things. Don't know the whole
story. We have to take
a
really, really quick break again, and we're going to come right back with Jim Smith. He is the Ag Commissioner in Siskiyou County. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Some have said down through history, if you last, it's a mystery. But I guess they don't know what they're talking about. From the mountains down to the sea, you've become such a habit with me. America, America. Well, I come from down round Tennessee, but the people in California are nice to me. America. Don't matter where I may roam, tell you people that it's home sweet home. America, America.
The country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
We're going to make sure of it, because without us, the city folks are doomed, and we all know that. So, Jim, what kind of, I don't know how we want to go about this, but give us some numbers, like on the amount of production, what kind of money that is, and what happens if, to the county, if they were to actually just shut down the Klamath project and turn it back into nothingness.
So, Aaron, the environmental groups that I talked to have a plan to turn this into the Everglades of the West. You ever heard of that?
Okay, well, that's a nightmare.
That's a nightmare. They're trying to turn back the clock on the whole Klamath project and turn it back into a what they perceive as a sustainable marsh and wetland.
Of course.
Okay. But that doesn't work too well. So Siskiyou County's total production in agricultural revenues is between $350 million and close to $300 million. It varies according to prices and productivity. In 2017, I believe our total was $277 million, $278 million. Of that, about $88 million was, hold on a second. $88 million was from, Tule Bay, basically. So the value of the farm products in the project is great compared to the number of acres. So again, the Tule Lake Irrigation District encompasses about 66,000 acres, 63,000 are farmed, and 63,000 acres out of the total production of the Siskiyou County agriculture is a small percentage. So a small percentage generates a very large revenue source. All that revenue contributes to, of course, property tax base for the county. And they have personal property tax on their equipment, all those things. If they shut the water off, personal property taxes on the land will probably be reduced from 5,000 actual value on average to about 1,000. And so you'd be looking at a pretty severe reduction. Of course, that wouldn't translate directly across the board, but it would have a major impact. Other impacts of shutting the water off completely in that project, which I should describe that the project is fed by water from Upper Klamath Lake. And originally, water rights were given to each of the homesteaders, and all the homesteaders were veterans of World War I, II. The first set of settlers were World War I vets, and they settled mostly on the west side of the project, and the World War II vets settled a little bit later on more on the east side. The water coming out of Klamath Lake is fed through an irrigation system that has been deemed one of the most efficient irrigation systems in the world. It's about 80% efficient when it comes to using the water that you get and reclaiming the tail water and moving it back into the river.
And just so for people who don't do agricultural speak, tail water is the runoff. Literally, it's runoff the tail water. of the use. It goes on to do something else.
Yeah, and it gets used quite a few times before it gets into the refuges. The refuges are a kind of a sink for it. And then, of course, excess is moved off into the Klamath River. And we've also, as part of that project, they diverted some of the waters from Lost River, which used to be a sink into the Tule Lake Basin and never went anywhere, back into the Klamath River, which it never used to go to. And so during periods of high flow, the Klamath River benefits from that extra water flowing down there too. That hasn't been the case in drought years for quite some time. The refuge struggles to get enough water to provide for their wildlife management. And the farmers are struggling continually with the environmental groups who are challenging their use of the water out of Klamath Lake. So some of the lawsuits and biological opinions that have occurred in the last 10 years, since 2001 when they shut it off illegally and then refused to pay for it. Every single farmer in the basin was shut right off without any notice whatsoever. And the court found that that was a, you know, illegal, but they never awarded any damages for that. But we can talk about that later.
Big shock.
The current situation has been that it's a drought situation. This year, the lake was clear full of water, although we were having issues with snowpack and some of those things. But due to a biological opinion that requires a controversial flushing flow to remove parasites from the Klamath River, there's actually been no evidence that it's very successful. And even several years ago, when we had flood stage waters in the river, they were going to release 50,000 acre feet of additional flow down the Klamath River to comply with that biological opinion of a flush flow. And it would have flooded out all those towns in the south of the Klamath, like Klamath, the town of Klamath. It would have been underwater probably if the Board of Supervisors here in Siskiyou County hadn't stepped up and kind of told them, well, we'll send you the bill. And so they rescinded that. They did a good job of protecting the constituents down there. But can you imagine that? Actually at flood stage, turning more water into the river.
For the fish, right?
Yeah, for the fish.
Yeah.
Well, to flush the parasites out. So if the parasites get flushed out, you would think that a flood flow, natural flow, would probably take care of that, right? Evidently, it didn't or doesn't. So you kind of wonder what that water is used for in the first place. So here's the situation this year. We have a drought. We have numerous lawsuits ongoing. We have a biological opinion that supports this flush flow. Judge Orrick down in San Francisco filed an injunction against releasing any water to farmers or anybody else until after that flush flow had been garnered. The project, the Klamath Project, has family farmers on it. You know, we're not talking about Fresno County where some of those farms are 30,000, 40,000 acres, and they're kind of big corporate giants down there. These guys are family farmers. You know, they have wives and kids working on the farm, and they have long-term employees that are part of the family practically, and they raise a multitude of crops. They're pretty progressive, and they're struggling to stay in business. And so they shut the water off with an injunction by Judge Orrick in San Francisco. So when you usually water onions, for example, they get planted in April, which are a contract crop, by the way. So I agree to raise, you know, a couple hundred acres of these contracted onions, these dehydrator onions, to ship to your factory down there so you can make, you know, powder, onion powder, flakes or whatever. And they need it to keep their factory running. And then this judge shuts it off. And then they don't have any water to irrigate into their onions. They're a little dinky seed. I mean, everybody's planted onions in their garden probably. As soon as the wind blows, if you've planted, I mean, it blows them right out of the ground. So there wasn't any water to irrigate with except for areas around the edges that might have a little groundwater. And so April, the first day of irrigation usually in the system, was dry. The whole month of April. The month of May was going to be dry, but Pacific Power, who has a water right to run some of the power producing dams in the Klamath River, actually drained Kopko Lake to keep the water flow in the Klamath River at the required biological levels and diverted some small amount of water from Klamath Lake into the irrigation system's ditches. So that was about 17,000 acre feet. So give you some perspective. The project usually in the past used 400,000 acre feet of water that irrigated all of the ground, and it met all the needs of the diverse kinds of crops that we raise. A biological opinion and a judge after the water cut off in 2001 required that the Klamath Project would have to come up with 100,000 acre feet of alternative water sources and restricted the allocation from the Klamath Lake to 300,000 acre feet. So that cut us down to 300,000 acre feet out of the lake. And you divide that by our short growing season, which is about 4 months, 110 days. You know, that's what, 50,000 acre feet per month, about something like that, 40,000, 50,000 acre feet a month. So we've already lost practically 50,000 and 20 or 30,000.
And just 80, in case anybody was thinking, this water that had to happen to get rid of this parasite in the river. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll let you know if that actually worked. I think you'll be super excited about the answer. I know, yeah. I was. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. All right, Jim, just for the sake of planning, told you we'd run out of time. We've got 25 minutes, and we have one break to squeeze in between now and then.
Ooh.
I know you're like
hours.
I know. You're like 2 hours. It's just going to, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, it's going to go really fast.
It's
going
to fly by.
This always happens. It's not that we can't do a second program, actually. We could just carry over.
Yeah,
we could hold you hostage for a different week. Like, next week, we could do next week.
Yeah, I'm game for that. If your listeners are interested, it'd be quite a opportunity for me to share other things about Siskiyou County's issues.
I think it's important for people to understand, and I realize, again, it's one place, but we've done a lot of shows about Siskiyou County, actually, but the policy problems, not created by the local people, but this whole interplay between state and federal government and the environmental community and all this, you guys are like the bullseye of
this. Well, they're the front lines.
If it
comes crashing down there, they head right on to the next county.
I've always believed that if they could roll the people in Siskiyou County and get away with all this crap, everybody else is doomed.
Everybody else is doomed.
You guys are the best resistance out there. Thank goodness most of you are right-wingers, because I got to tell you, if you were the left and you actually applied the resistance to the resistance, we'd be in trouble.
Let's get on to the
dams and all that, and I know we can't do that in 20 minutes. So, okay, you'll be our hostage next week, so no panic. We'll just chat along, and when we run out, we'll continue.
Okay, I'm game for that. Right. I do have a little, synopsis here.
Okay.
So The Klamath Project's about a $557 million industry. And when you consider that for every dollar that's earned in agricultural production, you get a 91 cents back that's reinvested into community, developed in the community. So instead of $557 million, you almost have twice that. It's almost $1 billion, right? And the output multiplier. We're talking about infrastructure, like small businesses and manufacturers that support agriculture in the area. And in cases of jobs, for example, in the project, you know, there's, 4,500 jobs or 5,200 jobs in the ag sector, and it generates another 0.6 of a job. So you're looking at another 5,200 almost jobs that are created in a community that support the agriculture areas out there.
With a county population of what? What's your county population?
I can't remember
okay.
that.
Okay, continue on. I'll find that. Okay. I should know that off the top of my pointer head, and I just forgot.
I should know that, too. That's kind of embarrassing. I don't know that.
Well, not really. We don't need it very often.
It's not very high.
Nope.
You know, Klamath County has
45,000. We've got Ashley. Ashley's like our rain man right now.
Definitely.
Thank
definitely
you. 45,000. Thank you, Rain Man.
Look up the, that's Ashley. Look up the you know, impact of the Klamath County and Modoc County populations. See, they're both rather small, you know. These are all small rural counties. Case it takes about 2 hours to drive across Siskiyou County, or three, depending on which roads you get. So it's probably rather large. It's one of the largest counties in California. Most of it's owned by the federal government, of course.
Yep. And
so, you know, what we're looking at here is, you know, conflicts of government ideals. One is Endangered Species Act issues, which currently Klamath River has, you know, a salmon that's considered endangered. And lake,
that I can buy at Costco, by the way.
Yeah, from, yeah, I won't tell you from what. So, yeah, so, the, you know, we have water that's been tied up to protect the coho fish downstream, and we have water tied up now in the Klamath Lake to support suckerfish. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding the science because, you know, it's being developed right now. Nobody really knows anything. And, you know, the tribe is adamant about having their food source maintained and not go extinct, which they claim in their last
But nobody eats the suckerfish because they taste like dirt. Isn't that true?
Well, you know, if you've ever had any fish out of Klamath Lake, they tell you they'll only catch them in the spring, early spring, and at the mouth of the Wood River. Otherwise, they taste kind of like dirt. Yes, and I've never tasted one out of Klamath Lake that was very tasted very well. So, yes, they do. They taste like dirt. Klamath Lake is in its last stages of life. You know, it's a, I don't know how to say it, eutrophic lake in the last stages of growth. It's filling in. It's shallow. It's warm. It's full of blue-green algae, and running that water downstream to help a cold water season fishery is kind of
counterintuitive.
Well, it seems kind of counterintuitive. Some of the tributaries that flow in there are cold water, but Klamath Lake is definitely not that. So what's happened is that the conflicts between government required Endangered Species Act protections and power plays by tribes with treaty rights that go back to, you know, 1864 have come to a head, and it's put the Klamath Project landowners into a pinch. They're going to probably, well, I can't say that, but the likelihood without water of survival of any of those farmers up there or any of those communities that are in those areas is very grim. We still have a lawsuit. We had the water turned off early in the year for 2 months. We had a small amount allocated by the Pacific Power, which helped a few growers, but not very many. And then the Bureau turned the water on in June. That's 60 days after the start of a 110-day growing season. If you're a farmer and you've lost, you know, 60 days out of a 110-day growing season, that's not very good, is it? That's almost half of your growing season.
That's a real risk at that point to plant and get a crop off in time. It's disastrous.
So these guys are hoping for a long season, long fall, long warm season to maybe help size the products that they put in the ground. There's quite a bit of ground that is fallow this year because They were afraid to plant it. But there's been a lot of stuff that they went ahead and planted it, and they were praying that they would have enough water to irrigate. So there's about 2,000 irrigators and families there, and they don't have a water right that goes back to time immemorial, but they do have a vested interest in there. They're third, fourth generation farmers and ranchers there that were promised, their ancestors were promised adequate water to irrigate there. That's why they settled there, and that's their heritage also. So it's not just the tribes and the in coho species and all those things that are on the chopping block. We're talking about whole communities of taxpayers and families that have been living there for generations.
Who have water rights, which are in effect property rights.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, well, we're going to take away part of your house and give it to somebody else.
Take all your house away from you.
And in some cases, by the way, you get to live in somebody else's house because we're going to take yours.
Well, yeah, they've been doing this for 100 years. So you know, what's changed to make this all of a sudden a crisis that they have to have all the water?
Before we start that, let's take the last break so we don't cut it off too close to the top of the hour. And we'll be back with the Siskiyou County Ag Commissioner, Jim Smith. And we're running out of time, so we're going to tell you that now. But he's agreed to come back next week so we can finish up all the things we didn't talk about. And you're listening to We the People. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure good, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell
into used to like that song.
A burning ring of fire.
I don't like it as much anymore.
No, it's too close to home now.
Literally. So I thought we'd throw that out there for the car fire. And it's C-A-R-R fire because it's the car powerhouse, even though it was started kind of by a vehicle. It was a trailer, but it's not the car. The reason it has two R's, it's not about an actual driving car.
Well, yeah, and I think it happened right there near the car powerhouse.
Right.
Turnoff.
Correct.
It started.
So that's why it has two R's. I've had people ask me, why do they keep misspelling the word car? Okay. It has geographic significance here. That's why they used it for the name. So, Jim, we had somebody call during the break, wanted to know why we don't just dredge the lake up there.
Well, that's a really good question. The dredging could probably generate an income source from the organic matter that they could use for potting soil. Every time that was brought up as a faculty research assistant for Oregon State University's Klamath Experiment Station, which, you know, we had a lot of smarter people than I am that worked there, including my boss, Dr. Ken Reichbust. They thought that it would be impossible to overcome the sediment deposits that are continually coming into that lake at this late stage of its growth. However, I don't know if anybody's really looked into that close enough to say that. I have a lot of respect for the opinions of my peers there, but if you put a concerted effort in there and spent one-tenth of the money that's been spent on the suckerfish research since the U.S. Geological Service's biological research team moved into Klamath, we probably would have had that lake dredged to 500 feet deep, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Spent an enormous amount of money studying the suckerfish and its habitat. They are, we have some growers that are actually raising sucker fish juveniles into a bigger size and then release them back into the lake to try to address number issues. There's a lot of controversy surrounding everything about this whole controversy, this conflict.
We have controversy about our controversy.
Yeah. No,
and that's true.
So, for example, there's a lot of research early on that indicated that during drought years, the survival and retention of juvenile suckerfish were enhanced by drought seasons when the water levels were extremely low. And that's pretty well documented. My boss, Dr. Ken Reichbos, at that time, when they were discussing this after the U.S. Geological Service got put into place, documented all that information and presented it in a paper. And he was ostracized. The Klamath tribe went to Oregon State University and laid the political pressure on pretty thick, and the Oregon State University admin at that time disavowed Dr. Reichbost and his work.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. He was a long-term researcher that had, different from their claims, a pretty good background in both fisheries and hydrology, water science. And he knew what he was talking about. He's a pretty smart guy.
He tried to use actual facts, which, of course, would make him a blasphemer.
Yeah, so he became persona non grata at the Oregon State University admin level. That really hurt his heart. It was an unfortunate incident in his career, which was, remarkable. Anyway, that's just some of the stuff that goes on. You know, you can't argue with a treaty, award that goes back to 1864, but the method of calling for water right now that tribe has placed has impacted a lot of places. So the Upper Sprague River in Klamath County, Oregon, has immediately dried up. No water can be taken out of any of the rivers and streams feeding into Klamath Lake. And so that dried up all the ranchers up in the north of Klamath County. So they can't irrigate their pastures or their hay fields. And it actually impacted Crater Lake National Park. They had to quit taking water out of their normal stream flow, which was adequate to, feed the Crater Lake National Park visitors. They were curtailed from that. So they started buying water from the city of Chiloquin. Well, the water master shut off the city of Chiloquin's main water wells because it was too close to the river. And as such, the Klamath tribe shut off all the drinking water in Chiloquin. They did offer to allow them to use water from a storage tank that they had in a well nearby in replacement of that, and complained that they didn't ask for any help, the city of Chiloquin. Chiloquin went back to the Department of Water Quality in Oregon and asked for a stay of execution, which it was granted. And I think it's expiring at the end of July 31st. So they went back to the tribes recently, according to a Herald News article I just read, and asked if they would still honor their claim that was made publicly and give them water out of the storage tanks and allow them to use some of their well water that they had. And the tribe has refused that request currently. So, they're trying to figure out how to drill a new well with grants that they're trying to achieve. And I don't know what they're going to do on July 31st. And I don't know what Crater Lake National Park is going to do either. So there's a,
wow,
a little bit of a power crazy play going on there.
And, we should mention, for people who don't know the area, that historically, Klamath Lake went almost all the way dry. It was just down to, the mud flats, and the suckerfish survived in that, which is why they taste like dirt. But they survived in that, and one benefit of that is that all the predators died every year. So then when the rains came, filled the lake up, the suckerfish were bigger than they were the year before, and they could fend off all the predators. Well, this new magical faux science of keeping more water in the lake has allowed the predators to actually breed, grow, and develop. So now the population of the suckerfish is dwindling, but no one can figure out why.
Well, you said the flushing of the parasites, that didn't work or did work? We were going to talk about that.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, any research documentation that supports that hasn't come up with any positive information. Of course, they're going to have a five-year study to come up with that. And we're going to have to evaluate what's happening in the ocean off the coast, which nobody seems to talk about.
No, we don't want to talk about that. Yeah, the ocean has no bearing on whether or not fish come back. It all happens 190 miles away up in Klamath.
That's right. And so there's also the fact that in the past, when there wasn't any dams in the river, the Klamath Lake would dry up the river. It would be dry in the summer.
Correct.
And, you know, the Link River would be, you know, dry. It's all rocks. So
the salmon walked up there, I mean, every year.
They had little shoes and suitcases, and they carried little bags on their back, you know, like little bike riders, and they drank that way.
Yeah.
So it's rather interesting to see which dams they're willing to take out, which dams they're not willing to take out. So it's kind of interesting. So I have another story that pertains to that, too. My family homesteaded in the Chico, California area along the Sacramento River and what is now known as Llano Seco Ranch or Pear Grant Ranch. And along with a lot of other people, they homesteaded and planted orchards and raised truck crops down there. And then the Spanish land grabs were upheld in California court. They got kicked off the ground. So I guess I come from a long line of squatters is what it amounts to. Okay?
People just want to run you off.
Yeah. But my family's kept records over the years. You know, the Smith clan's pretty productive. They've had 7 or 12 kids for like 3 or 4 generations down there, you know. And the records indicate that it was common to walk across the river, the Sacramento River, in August. It was, you know, you just wade across it. It wasn't very deep at all. Currently, I go down and go fishing with a fishing outfit for salmon in the fall run of August, you know, that we are required to maintain that flow for that salmon run in August. So you start thinking about how often that gets done in the West as far as salmon runs and salmon and water flows, required water flows are going. So that's a false water flow most of the time. And it's being maintained by law that instead of wading across Sacramento River, I have to have enough water in there for a fall August run of salmon, which I like catching salmon, but it takes a lot of water to keep the fish running up. So without Shasta Dam, what would happen?
You know? The dams, I mean, we put them in for a reason. We spent massive amounts of money back in the day. We should talk a little bit next week about the volume of government that is running the Klamath Project. I mean, this isn't just a bunch of farmers, you know, hanging out, having a fight with the local tribe about who gets the water and whether the fish that tastes like dirt need more of it.
That's right.
I just can't include that enough. We're out of time again. We're in the last
minute. We also need to talk about what a county ag commissioner really does.
We're going to hit that. Yeah. We can hit that next week.
We're doing all that. So you have you have seven days to prepare, and we will Skype with you next Sunday at noon, and we'll chat some more about all of this fun stuff. And I've got things to add to the website you sent me this morning that I still haven't done. So
great.
We'll be back with our guest Jim Smith next week. He is the Siskiyou County Ag Commissioner, and you're going to love it and learn a lot. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.